don't really want a testimony because they got to have a test, you know. But all through the Bible we see it. But and I'm saying that in a encouraging manner, that testimony is something God has done from the testing. You know, don't ever look at testing as negative. I mean, it's hard. I mean, it does, things happen. But you got to be determined not to let the test steal the testimony, you know, because every test will bring a testimony, you know. And I was thinking about, I mean, I don't know, I believe everybody in here is born again. If you're not, I mean, I wished I hadn't wasted 27 years before I give my heart to Jesus. I was a young man, and I had dreams and desires that I never could make come to pass up to 27. You know, been married six, seven years, and marriage was a mess, you know, and all that stuff. But anyways, I thought that selling drugs was the way, because I'd seen people that were successful, you know, selling drugs, man. I mean, they never had to buy no marijuana, man. They just cut out what they want, cheat a little bit, you know, everybody getting a little bit less, getting almost a dime bag, you know. But, you know, and then the money. And so I set out there the last couple of years of our marriage before we got born again. I thought, this is going to be the way right here that I get me and Teresa a house. And, I mean, we wanted things, you know, and everything. But that took me down a dead-end road, you know, to emptiness. I mean, I had money and drugs and stuff like that, but I was empty, you know. And came to that place to where I give my heart to the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something, 20-something years later, I am one blessed man. And it's not because of God, it's because of, you know, giving my heart to the Lord, hanging in there, going to church, and God helping me make different choices. And then it wasn't long till God put me in my own business. He don't do everybody that way, but I'm just giving you my testimony, see. Put me in my own business, and then I realized later on that he had that in store for me all along, but I was going doing drugs instead of doing it the right way. I mean, and I had a desire to do all of those things, you know, but once I got born again, so I don't know. You're listening by way of internet. Listen, this Christianity is not a boring thing to me. You know, going to church is not a boring thing to me. Praise God. I mean, it's empowering to me. It empowers me. You know, going to the house of the Lord has always empowered me to be and walk Christ-like, to walk the walk, you know, not just want to, you know. The Lord told me one time, he said, you can sit on the sidelines. In other words, you can go to church, he said, and you can watch everybody be blessed, but until you engage outside of church, in following me and worshiping me and doing what I lead you to do, you won't experience the power. You'll see everybody else experience it. Well, now here comes the test, Johnny. I mean, almost immediately when I made up my heart and mind that it's for me and my house, like Jeremiah, we're going to serve the Lord. I mean, it was like immediately the devil, you know, rose up. It's like immediately he rose up. And he's like, this Christianity ain't no good. You're going to get brainwashed. Just throwing stuff at me, you know. It ain't really real. Things are not going to change and all of that stuff, you know. And I went to church, and my pastor preached down them lines, and I thought, that's what it is. I thought, Satan had me, and now he knows I'm dangerous to the kingdom, to Christianity, you know, I mean, to his kingdom, bringing it down and all that. You know, and I thought, that's what it is. And so then I go in there, and I start finding out what the Scripture says about the enemy. I didn't go studying, get books on him, but I went in there. The first thing I found out, that Satan was stripped of all power. Jesus stripped him of all power. The one that came on the inside of me stripped him of all power. After I found that out, I thought, the devil is not my problem. Black God, he can get up and scream and holler, but he has to get under my feet. The Bible says that we can resist the devil, and he has to flee. Now you got to believe what that scripture says. But I preach it, and it was preached to me because faith comes by hearing. Confidence in God, power over the devil comes by hearing. See, he had me bound, Johnny. He had me bound in darkness. He had me bound on a road that would eventually lead me to prison, more than likely, if I didn't kill somebody out of just being dumb, you know. He had me bound. So if you are here or you are listening by way of any way, across, we're all over the world. We're not a small church. I don't care what people says. We are all over this planet. Some of y'all coming up right now, I'm going to send you to India when you get ready to go. They're wanting us to come to India. I mean, they're asking me to send people to minister over to India, you know. They want me to come to India. We're going into India. We fed families all year last year, the whole year for just a few $1,000s. We're not small. We're anointed. We're equipped. Now, he didn't want us to do that. I had to go help the bank learn how to do some of this stuff. And had to remind them that they're here to help Jesus. They're Christians, right? Got the job at the bank. It ain't just for the money. I mean, he needs us everywhere, you know. So if you're here and you're not right with the Lord, or you're listening, Don't stay lost without Jesus. Give your heart to Jesus, and your dreams and desires will start to fulfill as you begin to follow the Lord. As you begin to go after the Lord, and you know, I mean, don't just listen to the testimonies of people that's getting their cars and their houses and the promises and all of that and sit there and say, boy, I wish that was me. No, God's speaking to you. God is trying to get that in your ear, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the testimonies of people that have believed God and went through the testing, and now they're giving their testimony of the glory of God. Hallelujah. So don't sit back and waste another minute. Don't sit back and waste another year. Don't sit back. Give your heart to Jesus. I mean, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. He came that you could have life and have it more abundant, John 10:10. It's not about church. It's about a man wanted you to have life and have it more abundant. Didn't want you to miss out on life here. See, I thought at 25 years old, 26 years old, 26 and a half maybe, right before I got saved, I thought, oh yeah, the little Bible thumpers going to church, toting their little Bible under their arm, loving one another, giving a little holy kiss. They can't lie, cheat, steal. They can't drink. They can't do nothing. They can't get stoned no more. They ain't got no life. I thought they are candies. You know, I mean, the devil was helping me think these things. You know, well, see, the Bible says, if the truth is hid, it's hid to those who the god of this world, which is called Satan, has blinded their minds and hearts. That's where I was. It says, lest the light of the glorious gospel shine in. That's how come he sets it up where I heard the preaching of the gospel. I heard about Jesus. One of my brothers told me that Jesus loves me and Jesus would help me, and I wanted to shoot him. I told him, I said, y'all go on with your little Bible stuff, and man, I'm getting stoned every day, man. I mean, I'm doing cocaine. I'm making money. You know, I'm doing drugs. Hallelujah. I'm having fun. We party on the weekend. Just leave me alone with your Jesus stuff. Well, see, that was because the god of this world had me blinded in the sin that was in my heart from seeing the truth. Then God brought the anointed word, and then at that time when I give my heart to Jesus, I mean, the Holy Spirit immediately spoke to me. And I didn't even know anything about the Holy Spirit. He said, if you'll serve me, he said, I'll bring your family back, and I could just see that my life would get better. And so if you're here or you're listening by way of the internet, the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. I mean, you know, and I thought at that time when I got desperate, and I'm still desperate. I desperately need the Lord in my marriage today. I desperately need the Lord in this church today. I desperately need the Lord in my business today. I'm still desperate for Jesus 8 years later. I'm still desperate for His anointing and His grace and His angels and His ability in my life. See, that don't end. But it just gets better and better and better, and the anointing and things and all of that stuff. You know, when we're depleted of our spiritual life, the blessing don't matter no more to us, because we're empty. We're longing for something to make us feel better, where we want joy and peace, and things don't do it. People don't do it. I told Teresa one time, I said, you are looking for me to fulfill you, and that's not going to happen. I make you miserable. I said, you got to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, so that you're fulfilled in Him, and then I can be happy with you, and then you can be happy with me. Come on, somebody. I mean, we got to be closer to the Lord so that we're fulfilled without anything external or people or things or money. And that's seeking the kingdom. And the Bible says if we'll seek first the kingdom, all these things will be added, the way we feel. You know, I was just thinking yesterday, a few days ago, I was breaking the okra off, and it caused me to miss my mama bad. My daddy never told me that. I thought you had to have a knife to cut okra. But you know, my mama, I said, I got to get a knife. She said, go out there and break that okra off. She said, it's twice as fast if you'll go break the okra off. She's still living with me. Still in me. Hallelujah. Still in my... And I started rehearsing that, and I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because I missed her. I mean, I started missing my mama. She'd been dead 10, 12 years. I guess. I don't know. Well, here comes the test. Am I just going to be sad and get sad and sadder? People talk about their mom and their dad. Well, mine's gone. They're gone. They're gone. They're going where I'm going. But I'm not going to live sad here. I'm not going to do it. I pressed in. The Lord told me after my mom died, I felt out of place. I felt like, because my mom depended on me a lot. You know, and I mean, I'd got used to being her, you know, being there for her, and I enjoyed it, really. But you know what? The Lord told me one day, because I felt like quitting the ministry. I mean, I just felt like she's the only thing I had left, you know, parent-wise. She's the only thing I had left, man. And the Lord spoke to me. And He said, you must refocus your attention from that to something else. That chapter of your life ended. He said, that's ended. He said, but you know she didn't die. The Bible says to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And then I had the realization, I thought, if I was to use my faith to call my mama here, she would kill me. If I get her back out of heaven, which you can't do it, don't reckon, I've never known that done. But you know what? I had to refocus. See, whenever a trial comes, don't fail the test in the trial. Let the trial bring a testimony. Let that trial bring a testimony. So I refocused. I don't remember what I done, but I refocused my energy, and I quit thinking about how lonely I was without her. And I had regrets because of my dad. I never did serve the Lord, and I dishonored him big time to me. But when I got born again, I made a decree in my heart towards the Lord. I said, I'm going to honor my mother. I didn't get to honor my father, but I'm going to honor my mother. I'm going to honor her. And I set out on a course, and I did that. I honored her, praise God. And so when she was gone, it was really, really tough. But I've refocused. And now, good memories. The Lord told me, he said, focus on the good memories you had with her. He said, it's okay to grieve. He said, but after that, he said, it's about you, your emotions. Satan is trying to get the advantage over you by keeping you sad about her being gone. Nothing you can do about that. That's not going to change. He said, refocus your energy towards me, towards the things of the kingdom, towards something else. Don't dwell on that, how you feel. See, the enemy takes advantage of these things. People are coming into this earth every 30 seconds. They are leaving this planet every 30 seconds. Probably every minute. Half a minute. Somebody's coming in, going out. You can't go to the hospital without babies being born. And full of babies all the time. They're entering here and leaving here. I was at a job the other day. See, you got to get all focused off yourself. You can't focus on yourself because every test will be personal to you and it'll bring you down. Satan will use it. He'll use it. He tries to use tests in my home. When Teresa gets ugly with me, she don't get real ugly, you know, but I mean, she gets ugly and you feel like you're not appreciated. You ever felt like, guys, that you're not appreciated? Who said, where in the scripture does it say that the one we should feel appreciated by the woman? It don't. You know, so Satan will take advantage of that. I've thought before, I try to give her everything. See, I'm in a test is all I'm saying. The test is there. The test. And I got to draw my strength from the Lord. Don't the Bible say, finally, my brother, in Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It don't say if everything works to your good all the time, you can be strong. No, that's the time when you got to be strong in him when things are not working to your advantage. They didn't work to Paul's advantage. They didn't work to Jesus. They did work to their advantage, but seemingly in the natural. Things come against them. Testimony is the results brought forth by the Lord. See, we want God results. So back to this. If you are not born again, you are turned off by the gospel. You are turned off. You're hearing this for a reason. God is a good God. He will not let me, you, or anybody else be taken down into destruction without having an opportunity to get bailed out by the Lord Jesus. If you are lost, give your heart to Jesus. So it's simple. The Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, there was a preacher preaching one time, and I knew I'd give my heart to Jesus. Satan tried to talk me out of it, tell me it didn't really happen, it wasn't really real. But you know, there was a preacher preaching about getting saved, and he said, just get on your knees right in your living room. And Teresa's in the kitchen, you know. And I thought, man, I'm saved, you know. This is stupid. This feels. But I got down. I got down in my living room, and I said, I want to make 100% sure, Jesus, that you are my Lord. Father, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Lord, I'm sorry that I denied you most of my life. Father, come into my heart. Lord, I believe you already are, Father, but just give me a double portion of salvation. I got up, and I thought, I know for sure now. I know I was saved anyhow, because I didn't feel no different. I was already born again. But he's preaching the gospel, and I mean, I'm responding to it. So you got to respond when the Lord's dealing with you. I started to the, this is not my sermon. Best like it, ain't none of these scriptures. No, I'm led by the Holy Spirit this morning. That's fine. I'm good with it. I'm more comfortable with that than I am the other way. I started to the jails one time. God opened the jail ministry up. It wasn't that I was something special. I didn't even know what I'm doing, Johnny. I just had a desire to do something for Jesus. I hadn't been saved but about 6 or 8 months when he started opening these doors, you know. And I'm going to the jail down there, you know, in Coleman County City. And then he opened up Oneonta about the same time. I was going to 3 jails plus going to church plus working a full-time job, so can't, the excuse packet's gone in this kingdom with me that you can't obey God. Yes, I got home at 8:39 at night. Yes, there's times I went in, didn't get no supper. Yes, there's times I went straight from work to there. So So I understand the trials, but the victories. But anyhow, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I want you to tell them. He said, because they don't know. Just brought this up in my spirit. I didn't hear no audible voice. And after you're born again, you'll hear him too. He'll quicken you, talk to you, lead you, guide you. It's all through the Bible. He'll speak to his sheep, hear his voice, and another they won't follow. You can't hear the voice of God if you ain't saved. Let me say that again. You can't hear. You're hearing him right now. That's the only way you're going to hear the voice of God is through the vessel that he's using so that you can get in relationship. Then you can hear from God yourself. Well, he goes on and he says, tell them. He said, tell them how when they start thinking about going to church, when they start thinking about things of the kingdom, he said, tell them that's not them, that is me dealing with them, drawing them. I'm opening the door for them. They don't want anything to do with church or Jesus without me drawing. Well, they don't. I didn't. So I went in there, praise God, and I mean, everywhere I went that day, I brought that up. I said, I'm telling you right now, if y'all in here right now, you know, and you're hearing me, and you've been thinking about going to church and wished you would have started a church, and before you got in here in trouble, that was Jesus. That's him drawing you. No man, and I tell them, no man comes to the Father lest they are drawn. You're not having that on your own. That is the supernatural Jesus, Holy Spirit working, trying to draw you to salvation so you can get out of jail and not come back again. I won hundreds in there. So I'm telling you today, if you're lost, it takes a man to serve Jesus. It takes a real woman to serve Jesus. Anybody can lay it home. Anybody can get quit on their marriage. Anybody can quit in their relationships. Anybody can stay broke. Anybody. Anybody can lose anytime you want to. Anybody can quit. But it takes guts and backbone to serve the Lord and say, I'm going to follow Jesus no matter what. Yes, Lord, I know that Paul faced things and he knew that bonds and chains were going to be in the path of following you. And Lord, I'm willing to walk that path because I've seen the power in Paul's life of deliverance. So if you're lost without Jesus, backslid, whatever you want to call it, you know, I know. I know when I'm right and when I'm not. I know when I'm off course and when I'm not. I know when I need to pray and when I don't. I know when I need to read more and when I don't. I know when I need to repent and tell Teresa I'm sorry. We have an indwelling of his Holy Spirit. So if you're in this house right now and you are lost without Jesus or backslid, I want you to come and kneel at this altar. I normally don't do it this way, but I feel such an anointing this morning. I want you to come and kneel at this altar, and we're going to pray for you. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to lead you to Jesus. So if that's you on three, don't think about it. What people think, we don't care. They just come and kneel at this altar. Get down here at this altar. I don't really care what people think this morning. If everybody needs to leave because you want to get saved, hit the door. Leave. But just down there. But anybody else want to get born again? Come on, this is God's service. Come and deal at this altar this morning, praise God. Take a stand for Jesus. Take a stand for him. This is the best day of the rest of your life. Anybody else, you want to get right? You're not right? Come on. Kneel at this altar this morning. We got an anointing, and he's here to meet. He's here to do it. He's here to do it. Praise God. Anybody else? Father, we just praise you. And Lord, I just thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Test produces testimony. Now, you know what? I mean, and I try not to, well, I do too. My life is nothing but a testimony. I mean, ever since I got saved, you know. And I can't help it. I get up here and preach. People says, "But Scott, he tells too many of his stories." We'll go somewhere else. I ain't got nothing but stories. I ain't got nothing but to tell what Jesus has done in my marriage and what Jesus has done in my heart and in my life, and I'm not going to change it. I told somebody, "Well, you tell too many stories." I said, "If you'll get right with Jesus and you'll follow Jesus, you'll be telling stories like me. You'll have stories in your life." I said, "Because what you don't realize, friend, it's not stories. I would be nothing today without Jesus. I would have nothing today without Jesus. I wouldn't have a marriage. I wouldn't have what I've got today without Jesus. I know. So I'm going to tell the testimonies of the tests that I've went through, trials, good tests. Some tests are good. You take tests, they take tests in school because they studied, and they take tests so that they can pass to the next grade, to the next level. Well, do you know we got the school of the Holy Spirit? And I mean, Satan watches. He watches all the time. He's watching your life. He's watching my life. He's watching how I respond to situations. He's watching what I say. He's trying to see how I think by my words, but the sucker can't get in my head. He throws thoughts, but I never let them out. And I think he's just like, "Wonder that shield must be up. That shield." See, that's a testimony right there, that I found out that the shield of faith in Ephesians quenches all the fiery darts of the devil. Now the devil can come to me and say, "Well, Tracy, I don't love you." And I'm like, "Shut up. You want to always shut up and go somewhere else, you idiot." He'll tell me, "Well, you're not a good pastor. Who asked you? Jesus called me. Jesus anointed me. And I didn't ask you, devil, if I'm a good preacher or not." He comes and says, "Well, somebody can do a better job than you." "Well, shut up. You should have put him in there before I got here. I took over when I got here, devil." But God, everybody else in Blossville didn't want to do what I'm doing, I reckon. So I just answered the call. You just answered the call. You just answered the call. Monty, you just answered the call. You just answered the call. Everybody just answered the call when he's calling your name, when he's saying, "I want you to do this. I want you to go deeper. I want you to love more." Whatever he's telling you to do, it's going to lead you into tests. It's going to lead you into waters you don't really like to tread in or go in. But I'm telling you, it'll bring you into flowing rivers of water in your spiritual life. Hallelujah. I know that it's hard to forgive at times. I understand. I understand that it's really hard when people does you wrong and you didn't deserve being done wrong. I understand. You know, but that's okay. You might be in that test, but you just keep going. You just keep praying. You just keep rolling that and casting that over on the Lord. And then before you know it, ain't nobody can move you like that again. Why? Because you've got built up in him to where you can be done wrong, and you're like a duck in the water. When you go under, when that duck goes under, that water don't even get to their body. It just rolls off. Why? Because they've got an automatic force that our Holy God put in them to endure the elements. Well, I find it. Quit looking at your finances. The Bible says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher." Well, my marriage. Quit looking at your marriage and work on it. Stop. You know. I mean, you got to go deeper. Well, it's hard if everybody's not going to do their part. Everybody's not going to do it. It's not going to happen. If everybody would do their part here, I could pastor better. Really? Is that really, really the case? No, it ain't. See, if I think the house has to be full for me to pastor right, I'm missing it. But God, he didn't tell Peter, "Look, I'm going to give you a mega church, 10,000. He said, "Do you love me?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Feed my sheep." He said, "Do you love me?" Three times. He said, "Yes." He said, "Feed my sheep." He didn't say you're going to have a multitude of sheep. He didn't say you're going to have one, two, or three. I've had people come here and they say, something wrong with your church. It's people like you. You might as well leave. The rest of them did. And then they go say something wrong with church. Nobody won't stay. It's because y'all choose not to. I ain't seen no devil run nobody out of here. I sure ain't kicked nobody out. I ought to bring more correction than I do. I'm a laid-back dude. That church is hard. Hard, really? It really hard? No, you just get in test and you flunk every one of them. And so trying to serve Jesus is hard to you. But you've got to get it in there that the easiest thing to do is serve your Lord and love your Lord. And just like Monty was talking about, I'm just now learning how. That's good. I'm learning some stuff too, Monty. After 30 years, I'm learning some things. That just like Monty, Lord, I'm learning right now, still learning, I'm learning how to thank him when my finances are bad. I can tithe with no problem and not grudgingly. I don't reckon I've heard this one. I've heard that before, you know. Most time they don't tithe, they're in bad shape. You're tithing and you got to learn to walk into promises now and thank him when things ain't working out the way. That's just another level. That's just a test. And I guarantee you he'll get up here and give us some testimony for long. If he continues that thinking, that saying and all that, what's he doing? He's passing the test. I'm passing the test. You're passing the test. I mean, if you flunk the first grade, don't quit. Just say, I'm going back to the first, but God, I'll come out next year. I'm going to win next year. I'm going next year. I'm going to the second grade. Told Aubrey the other day, I said, baby, you're going to another grade. Oh, yeah. I am. I said, you did good. You did good all year. You did good. Now, she didn't do so well in a subject or two, but I'm not going to point that out. Well, you're a pretty good girl, but you barely got by the skin of your teeth. No, I'm gearing her up already for this next year that she's going to go with straight A's and flying colors and meet new people, and I'm giving her an enthusiasm and telling her Jesus is going to school with you. She ain't got no concept of Jesus being over here yet. She will have. Told Aiden the other day, I told him, I said, boy, you're going to school next year. You ain't wearing them panty pull-ups. They got it off of them now. He said, nope, Papa, I'm not going to school. I said, oh, you are going to school. You're not going to stay with Mommy all the day. That's not going to happen. He's a mama baby. There ain't nothing wrong with that. He's a blankie and a mama baby. There ain't nothing wrong with neither one of them. That's a good thing. And he's standing over there, and I said, you will go to school. No, I won't. And I said, you watch. You will go to school next year. He's just looking at me. I thought, all we need is one more year, and I'm going to show it. Bye, see you and Grandma in a while. I told you, boy, you're going to school. What am I doing? I'm preparing his mind for it. So when he gets to that bridge, he'll already be there. He already knows it. He's already, whether he's saying he's going or not, he's already there. His mind's already there. So when the test comes, the boy will just get in the car and go to school and be happy. I told Aubrey, I said, yep. I said, Aiden's going to your school. I said, and you're going to drive him to school. She said, you're going to be driving Aiden. Papa, he's not riding with me. He won't leave me alone. He talks all the time, Grandpapa. I said, well, he's only four. I said, that's okay. I said, he knows he's getting on your nerves, so it makes him want to do it more. I said, just don't let him know he's getting on your nerves. I said, then it's not fun to you. He thinks it's funny, getting on her nerves. And she's, I hate it. And he's like, I said, well, stop letting him know it gets on your nerves. How many knows you don't never need to let Satan see you sweating? I mean, you might be going through a trial, but you don't need to say nothing. I mean, the first thing I want to do is run to Teresa and just tell her how bad that trial is. I'm going through, and I mean, I went in the other day and had a little four-year-old tantrum. Not with her. Went in there, I'm trying to get the pool ready. And then my tires are flat. They won't fix the tires. They go down. I had to go fix my own backhoe tire Friday at a shop. I went and fixed it. Went and hauled it. Put it back on, you know. And all of that, you know. And I went in. And I got off the track, little tractor. I can do more with my big tractor in 30 minutes than I can do in 3 hours with a little one. And so I'm on that little one, and I'm not getting nothing done, and so I get off. I go down to the house, and I walked in. Tracy, what's wrong? They know. I'm letting, Satan's done saw me. And now she knows. She's like, what's wrong? I'm like, well, no, what? So, well, nothing, but something's wrong, ain't it? And I said, well, I can't even get my pun. I can't get the pool up there. Now you're mentioning doing something out yonder, wanting to haul gravel in out there, wanting to do that, when I can't even get them to fix my backhoe tire up here, and I can't even get this done. Now you're putting some more stuff on me to get done. I'm not doing none of it. I'm quitting. How many knows you are flunking? Big time. She said, just come on in, sit down, get cooled off. So I went in there, got sit down, got cooled off a little bit, you know, and got back up. She said, where are you going? I said, I'm going back up there and fix that pad. I'm going to have that pool up, but God. I said, devil, you hear me? But God, you can give me suggestion to quit if you want to, but I'm not a quitter. See, that's what you got to do. And you know what? I mean, I went yesterday and hauled my hay off for this year, and then when I got done, the dude, I needed a load of sand for the last load. And that dude, he said, do you still need some sand? I said, well, yeah, I still need some sand. He said, go drop that trailer. I've got my bobcat down at the river down there, and I've got a big pile of sand that I piled up for you. I said, really? He said, yeah. So I went and dropped that, Johnny. Got all my hay done, went down there. I mean, he loaded me down on my dump truck that Teresa didn't know we needed. They wanted $350, $450 to bring that load sand to my house. She didn't know we needed it. That's why I'm the man. I know what I got to get done. She don't think we need a dump truck. Just let somebody haul it in. Well, that's thousands. When I done bought a dump truck, I'll pay for it, and then I'll sell it and give my money back. See, you're wiser than the enemy. But if you're flunking all these tests and you think you can't do it, and the Bible says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Give me that first scripture, Beth. Let me see if we get this. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Go ahead, Beth. Okay. I'm sorry. That's good. See, don't think it's strange when boom, you're having some marital. Don't think it's strange. Boom, finance. Don't think it's strange. When these things happen, like some strange thing, I don't know why, I'm trying to serve the Lord. Don't get into all of that. Just get ready for the battle. Gird up the loins of your mind. It says to prepare your mind for action. I went in the store. Wasn't too long after I got born again. And I drove a truck, and I'd stop, get me a six-pack of beer, you know. I wouldn't get drunk, but I'm drinking, you know, on the job, you know. And so, anyhow, I get born again, and I thought, Lord, your word says I'm free to do anything, but I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm just not going to do it anymore. The battle started. The battle of my mind started. You got to do it. You got to do it. You got to do it. And so I thought, no, the Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, we can choose right now to do anything we want to do, either one of us, at any given moment. There's times that I feel like I could smoke a joint big as a power pole and I'd be a relaxed guy. Because I loved the marijuana. I really did. I stoned every day. I wouldn't do without it for over 7 years. I smoked marijuana every day. Thought about asking the Lord when I got that land and they legalized it if I could plant 20 acres of marijuana, even though some Hispanics over there that I was thinking about doing that, and they said, hey, we'll watch it for you. Yeah, you sit out there smoking my dope up, man, that's what you're going to do. You ain't going to watch it. You're going to lay out there and sleep. You wouldn't even go home. You'd never go home. If I had some big red buds out there to mature, shoot, they ain't going home. Live out there with animals. I make sure they don't eat all the pot down. But you know what I told him? I said, but I know what Jesus would tell me. I said, I know that Jesus wouldn't let me do it. I said, so there ain't no need me going to ask Jesus. I said, besides that, I said, why would I want to have to depend on that when I can depend on the blessing of the Lord that makes me, he gave me this land. Well, got that at Palmerdale, same store. Went in there. And I mean, they moved in a cooler. They just was starting the coolers with beer with ice in it. First thing I'd ever seen. I'd been in that store for 10 years, just about every trip. There are them, and I walked in. It had the big thing hanging here, had the Budweiser. That's what I drank, too, Budweiser. And it looks like it's dripping water off the Budweiser. It's in July. It's hot. And I thought, whoo! Man, I could get one of them tall boys and get a six-pack. And that's, you know, and I stood there and I thought, I made a commitment. So I went over there and I got me a lemonade. I got me a lemonade. I said, I made a commitment that I said, Lord, and I know you're going to help me, Lord. I can do this if I want to, Lord. But I choose not to do it, and I need you to help me, Lord. And the Lord helped me. He helped me. I was able to overcome that, overcome marijuana. I got in there, got in the truck one day, and these thugs never brought no cocaine special. I call them thugs. It's part-time sheetrock toters. Jack just hired anybody off the street, you know, go tote that sheetrock. Got in there, and they sitting over there, and they looked at me like that, and I looked, and they had three lines of cocaine on that bucket. You snort cocaine. I like it. Snort a line, chase it with Budweiser. Shoot, man, I've took trips and never left my living room. Acid and everything else. You know. And I said, man, I look, and we had a whole load of sheetrock. Then we had another truck loading, fixing to come behind us, you know. Hot that day, you know. And so they said, oh man, you know, we got you a line of cocaine. I said, no, man, I'm saved. He said, ain't nobody going to see it. Ain't going to tell nobody. I said, but Jesus is here. I said, he's here. He's here. He's in here. He's here. And they're like, the weirdo. I said, no, man, y'all just get you each one. I'm thinking, I want y'all to suck that up, and I won't have to get off that truck, go that cheap box. They get pumped up on that cocaine. And they told me. I told them, I said, nah, I appreciate it, guys. I said, I'm not going to tell on y'all. Y'all go ahead. And so they sucked a line and a half each. They're over there, boy, and I mean, they're over there, and they can't shut up after about 5-10 minutes. They're cranked up. I mean, cranked up. And I'm thinking, y'all go ahead, man. Y'all just go ahead. And I got down there, just like I thought. They said, you just stay on the boom. We'll get it. We'll get it, buddy. We'll unload this. I said, oh, no problem. Shoot, I was hoping they'd bring some more the next day. I ain't going to do it. What's what I'm saying? I realized that evening, and I thought, God, real power's come into me. I mean, I was able to say no, Lord. I was able to, you know, and I was able to stay calm and cool with them, you know, and everything, you know. And I actually talked to them about Jesus. I was on the job the other day, this 80-something-year-old man. Me and Travis on the job. Went in there, he was getting me a check. He's in a, I guess, wheelchair, whatever. Wife's writing a check. Went in there and he said, them good operators, I said, are the best on the market. I've been using them for 28 years. I said, they're the best on the market. They last a long time. And I said, 20, 30 years, I mean, they last a long time. He said, I won't never be here that long. I said, well, don't you know? I'm looking at him. I said, don't you know that the Bible says you got 120 years, you're only 87? Well, I don't think I want to stay here that long. And I said, well, that's up to you. I said, but the Bible says you got 120 years, you know. And I said, well, are you ready to go? Well, no, I'm not ready to go. But I meant Jesus. And I knew he didn't know what I meant. I said, well, I ain't ready to leave the planet either. I said, but, you know, we're only here for a short time. I said, you've been here a short few years. You've been here 87 years, that's all. I said, that's a short time. I said, but when we leave here, I said, it's going to be forever. I said, this is only temporary down here. You've been living here temporary, sir. I said, what I'm asking you, though, is do you know Jesus?
I know a lot of people, son.
I said, whoa, got that flesh stirred up.
I know a lot of people.
I said, but do you know Jesus? Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I'm like, he's thinking somebody out here in Coleman. I'm not talking about Coleman people. I'm talking about eternal. I'm talking about Jesus, man. I told him, I said, but look, man. I said, that's okay. I said, but don't leave here without him. Don't leave here without Jesus. See, what am I saying? Now I'm in all kinds of trials. And my trials are going on. Ain't none of my job working out. Got doors in. Ain't got the building started. Ain't got the concrete. Now done got their doors in. Everybody up there's in a dilemma. So look, everybody has got their testing going on in some area. They just, some of us ain't going to give in to what the enemy wants us to give into. And we going to have the testimonies of the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ bringing deliverance and power to our lives. And miracles. God messaged me Saturday. He said, just want to let you know I got the plumbing and blah, blah, blah. But can't get the concrete for the building and all of that. And I didn't know who it was, so I said, just Duck River Tire? Yes. I said, no worries. I've got your doors, got them stored. No worries. Put an exclamation mark. I said, just rest his mind. He's going through a battle, Lord. I ain't got no troubles. You ain't got no troubles. All I need is faith in God. We ain't got no troubles. They're there. But the troubles, the Bible says, casting all your care over on the Lord, for he careth for you. Bible says, trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Lean not to our own. I don't understand everything. I don't understand. I don't understand why y'all go through trials like you do. I don't understand it. I don't try to understand it. But I do pray for you. God strengthen them in their inner man. God give them the ability to make the right choices so that the test brings a testimony to them, God. God help them not to flunk when their marriage is under a little bit of stress, God. Look, if you think you're going to live for Jesus and Satan just not move in and try to, I mean, I know he wants my grandkids destroyed. I'm not an idiot. 7-4. I know he has a plan for them. He has a plan and he's not in a hurry. If he can do a little bit of his plan at a time, in 25 years he's done what he set out to do. He wants them messed up emotionally, spiritually, physically. He wants them abused. He wants their life wrecked. Well, not on my watch if I can help it. I'm a praying man. I'm a believing man. I'm a devil stomping man. I'm a put the blood of Jesus on them kind of man. I'm a faith man. Hallelujah. And bless God, as long as I'm on this planet, that's Satan. And you ought to feel the same way. I mean, you ought not to let Satan rule in your life anymore. You ought to be down on your knees and telling God, God, show me the power I have. God, show me how to maneuver against the tricks of the devil, Lord. Show me so that I don't end up shipwrecked. Make sure you're in the faith. The Apostle Paul said some made shipwreck concerning faith. How did he know that? You can see where they ended up. He could see. Some started out in faith and some didn't. I've been in faith and I've been out of it. I've been both of them. I've been backslid. I've been right with the Lord and backslid and back right with the Lord. I've been right with the Lord and in unbelief, and I know the difference, praise God. And it's a miserable life if you are saved and you're in unbelief. Ain't nobody can make you happy. Ain't nothing can make you happy. You are in unbelief, which causes oppression, which if you go to the natural doctors, wants you to take some oppression pills. they would just, they'd bring me down. I'm on high, man. I'm high on the Lord. I'm high on Him. I really am. He's everything. He's my all in all. He's all I need. He's all I'll ever need. He supplies all of my need according to His riches in glory. I told the Lord yesterday, the Lord told me, he said, I want you to go to the bank. And this guy named Cabier, he said, I want you to go to the bank. He said, do this transaction. I want you to keep this and this, put it in your wallet. I said, okay. Ooh, glory to God. Lord. Got $2,500 in my pocket, Lord. Well, I got a phone call. I need you to get this hay out of the field or it's going to cost more. And I thought, man, I want my $2,500. But you know what? I used to worry, kind of try to worry about whether I was going to have enough hay or be able to get the hay to feed my cows. And I cast that the first 2 years over on the Lord. Every year I had to say, Lord, so I understand the testing. I understand the pressure. And you know what, thank God, I went over there and it's exactly what I needed for that for my hay. And I've got nearly 100 rows of hay paid for at my place right now. Plus a load of sand free, which would have been $350. So, see, there he goes with those stories. What's your story? What are you going to testify of? We trying to help you here. Because I'll say, testify. A couple of weeks. Johnny comes, he didn't have no idea what he was going to be doing. Before you know it, I'm like, start service off, Johnny. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I didn't know if he could do it or not. I don't know if he's going to faint before he gets, I don't know. I have no idea. I took a chance, Johnny. Start the service off, Johnny. First, I didn't even let him do that. I said, close this out, Johnny. And then, one time, I did it on purpose. I thought, I'm going to call on somebody else. Because Bradley did that to me one time, and I wondered why he didn't call on me. I thought he's going to have to experience that. So I told somebody else to do it. I don't know, did you experience that? I did. I'm like, why didn't he call on me, man? I mean, you know, did I need to do a good job or what? See, I done went through that and worked through that up there. And I thought, I got to do that. He's got to experience that to know that that's normal. There ain't nothing wrong with none of that. That's normal. See, he had to go through that. Now I do it now. Johnny wouldn't think nothing about it. He just, he out the door. Gone. Got his job back. Got promoted. Working on his sermon. Yeah. He's going to preach for us. He's going to minister for us. Hallelujah. And you know what? I've seen him go through hell and high waters the last 2 years. I don't even know. I didn't ask him. I was curious. I thought, what the crap's going on with him? This is the weirdest marriage I've ever seen in my life. You know, this is weird, you know. And I wanted to go over there and say, Johnny. Then I thought, nah, that'll mess up. That'll mess up the Holy Spirit's work he's doing. I was curious. I thought, man, what's going on, dude? What's going on? Are you a man or what? Your head will get in the way. I don't know what was going on. I don't really care. Look what we got. Results. But I seen Johnny go through. I seen Johnny begin to fast. He could have quit his job, quit church. I got so much going on. Can't do nothing. Can't do nothing. I just can't do nothing. You could have. See, you're a warrior. I'm not just talking about Johnny. You are a warrior. But you can lay down the shield of faith. You can lay down the sword of the Spirit. You can lay down your confidence in the Lord, and you can lose the battle, praise God. So I want to encourage you, let the test, the way you yield is going to determine whether you got a testimony or not. You got to yield the right way in every test, and the Holy Spirit will help you. And you will come up higher when you do yield the right way. Let's bow our heads. I've got to quit. Father, we praise you.